The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory.
Here begins the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Isaiah the prophet it is written, I send my messenger before you to prepare your way. A herald's voice in the desert crying out, make ready the way of the Lord, clear him a straight path. Thus it was that John the Baptizer appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance, which led to the forgiveness of sins. All the Judean countryside and people of Jerusalem went out to him in great numbers, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan as they confessed their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. His food was grasshoppers and wild honey. The theme of his preaching was, one more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not fit to stoop and untie his sandal straps. I have baptized you in water. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. Welcome, all of you, friends in the RCIA process. You've been going through the inquiry period, and we're happy to have you here. And your declarations say you're going to continue this process and then decide along the way if you want to join us in full communion. I want you to do me a favor, okay? I'd like for you to do me a favor. Good. Thank you. I'll give you a few words. I'd like for you to remember them so as to help me out, okay? Fellowship. Discipleship. Ministry. Evangelization. And worship. You got them? Okay, can you remember? No? I find it hard to remember too, so not to worry. First one. Ministry. Good. Worship. Good. Thank you. That's good. I want you to hold on to that and talk about it again later, okay? Looking at the first reading as we move into the Advent season and we prepare again to celebrate that extraordinary event in our history, that our God chose to become one like us in the world, in all things but sin. How can you wrap your head around that concept? You really can't. It is so hard to grasp. And only in the grace of the Holy Spirit could we really begin to grasp the enormous event that our God chose to become one like us in our world. Just like us, so that he could lead us to the kingdom that he has planned for us. Do you know the name of any other God who has done such? Any of the great gods of mythology and the Greek experiences and the wonders and all of the gods that have been worshipped. There's only one that I know of that brought his son into the world that he might lead his people to him and ultimately to the kingdom. And we see the preparation of it in the Old Testament, that first reading from the prophet Isaiah. Great reading, great reflection about making straight the pathway of the Lord. Prophet Isaiah wrote while the people of Israel were in exile. So it was a really difficult period for them, being out of their own country. And yet they were sustained by the hope that one day they would come back. And here's the prophet Isaiah saying, The Lord is going to build a highway through the desert. It was a great image for them. A highway through the desert so that God would come and move his people and repatriate them, and they would be back in their own place and God would be taking care of them again. It was a great image. But it was a difficult image because of what they were experiencing at that particular point in time. It was very difficult because when you're experiencing that kind of oppression that they were experiencing, being away from their homeland, and then the hopes and expectations of getting there and then having to rebuild and redo everything when they got there. So they probably had the sense that we often have when we hear the good news. We think, oh yeah, that's nice, but maybe later, you know. Maybe I'll get to it later. But it was a very powerful image. And then in the end of the reading, the prophet says, and the Lord will come himself. He will be like a shepherd and he will gather his sheep and the lambs he will take care of and lift them up and carry them. That's still the same hope. And that became a reality in the Christ coming into the world. And so we start off with Mark's Gospel. We'll be in cycle B throughout this new year, following the Gospel of St. Mark, and it's fascinating how he does. He blows right into this experience with John the Baptist. And what is John the Baptist doing? He's saying, he said, there's a penance service here a week from tomorrow at 6 o'clock, right? Wasn't that what he said? Well, that's one way of looking at it. That was kind of essentially what he was saying. Hey, there's a penance service. There's an opportunity to repent and turn to God. Hey, this guy appears out of nowhere. There's no introduction in Mark's gospel, no infancy narrative, no talking about the angels and the shepherds and the Christ child being born. For Mark, hey, that's all taken care of. Here it begins. The Christ is in the world, and hey, John the Baptist, man, he just appears out there and say, appears at the Jordan proclaiming the good news. What an interesting figure that John the Baptist is. How much do you know about him? He's one of those individuals that I'd like to sit down with and get to know better. You know, when you're asked if there's some, who would you like to go to dinner with? I'd love to go to dinner with this character. He's very different. I mean, he appears in camel's hair, some kind of outfit, like Daniel Boone maybe or somebody, leather belt around his waist, and he's proclaiming the kingdom and the good news. I mean, he's certainly not going to be on the front of GQ or anything like that, right? He's not making any fashion statements, but he's an interesting individual. He was born to his parents in their older years or their more mature years. Interesting. I wonder what kind of an impact that had on him coming along when he was being schooled or educated. Was he special? He was special to them for sure because they had prayed and hoped for this reality. And we read about it in the other gospel, the details of that, Zechariah and Elizabeth and the hopefulness. And now here he appears, man, he's not dressed like the other chaps, right? And he has an interesting diet. You know, it's no Scarsdale or anything, right? But an interesting diet, locusts and wild honey. Hey, I like wild honey, that's good. Local honey is really good, isn't it, for various things. But locusts, a lot of people in the Asiatic countries still eat locusts because they say they're very high in vitamins and nutrients and that kind of thing. But I guess we're more inclined to stick with the broccoli, right? But what an interesting individual. He must have had a marvelous sense of self going out there like that. Some cat who was just not worried about what people thought. He had a mission. He was very clear about it. He was out there saying, friends, come and repent of your sinfulness, receive the forgiveness of the Lord, because that's what he loves to do more than anything else in the whole world, to forgive his people for their sins. He had an absolute conviction about that. He wasn't, you know, half in and half out or hesitant in any way. He appears in the Jordan and he's shouting out, hey, y'all, because he has a southern accent, right? Hey, y'all, come on here, receive the forgiveness of the Lord. That's what it's about. He knows and we know. And what happened? He had an extraordinary response. People came from all over. People came from Judea. People came from Jerusalem. It said, man, they flowed out to him. Why? Because people began to realize that's a great truth. We need his forgiveness. How did they know that? They knew that only through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the gift of God moving in their lives. That's how we know it as well. I mean, yeah, other people can tell us and help us. Hey, you need to go to confession. And, you know, in family systems, you know, people can tell each other, you know, you need to go. But we all need to go. And here was John. He got a great response. But he really understood his mission well. He said, I'm baptizing you in water for the forgiveness of sins, but there is one more gift you've got to receive, and he is going to provide it. What was that gift? Hey, amen, the Holy Spirit. Now, we can choose to live without it, and certainly many people do. But he said, if you really want to experience this life, then both of these realities are absolutely true. Forgiveness of my sins, and then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who enables me to live the life in Christ, because without him, I'm not able to do it of my own volition. That's why Jesus made it such a point of it. Here it is at the beginning of the gospel. As Jesus prepares to depart this world, he's really big on it again. He's saying, it's good for you that I should go, because if I go, you will receive the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the gift that would enable you to understand all truth. So the relationship between these two. But what I find most fascinating about the gospel and looking at this character, be so easy to say, man, what a nut, you know? This guy was an absolute nut. No, not you. But hey, this guy in his camel hair and his leather belt around his waist, and he's shouting out, hey, y'all, penance service a week tomorrow. Hey, come and receive the forgiveness of the Lord. It was a great advertisement for us. But it was a great truth. Many people could have just blocked it out, because we have a tendency as human beings to do that. We say, now, there's a nutcase, man. You really see that guy? He's talking through his hat or some other part or, you know, hey, really. And we go ahead and we make judgments like that. And we say, because of his appearance or because of the way he's dressed or because of his culture or because of his color or because of his experience in life. And we never even think sometimes, hey, the Lord has used different instruments all the way throughout history. All the way, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. And the exception was Christ, and Jesus himself was a little different. You know, he really was. He was a great challenge to people. Everybody felt a kind of a kinship and an attraction to him. Hearing his message, even though they were not conforming, they felt a power in that message. But how easily we can dismiss the message because we become engaged in the appearance or the look of or the color or the shape or the experience of the person. This week, I want you to do just one thing. Pay attention to the message. Hear the Lord speak to you through different people or people who are different in any way. Because how easily we could miss the message because of our distraction about the person. What were those words again? Man, you all are good.